for reading today from various places in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila chapter 13. Lord Chaitanya's ecstatic dancing at the Rath Yatra festival. We'll be looking at several places. We'll begin with a prayer composed by Srila Rupa Goswami, quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita by Srila Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami. This prayer that we'll chant is from one of the three sets of prayers composed by Rupa Goswami, titled Chaitanyashtaka. And this verse, Prabhupada tells us in the purport, is text 7 from the first of Chaitanyashtaka prayers, which are included in the book, Stavamala. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila, Chapter 13, Text 207. Rataru Jasyara Dadi Padavi Nilachala Patir. Adabra premor mispurita natano lasa vivasha. Saharsham gayadbi parivritta tanur vaishnava janai. Satchaitanya kime puna api drishur yasyati padam. Rataru dasyara adi padavi nilachalapatir. Adabra premor mispurita natano lasa vivasha. Saharsham gayad bi parivritta tanur vaishnava janai. Satchaitanya kime puna api drishur yasyati padam. Rataru dasyarad adi padavi nilachalapate. Adabra pe mormi spurita natano lasa vivasha. Saharsham gayad bi parivritta tanur vaishnava janai. Satchaitanya kime puna api drishur yasyati param. Vaishnavis. Rata Arudasya of the Supreme Lord, who was placed aboard the car. Arat in front. Adipadavi on the main road. Nilachalapate of Lord Jagannath, the Lord of Nilachala. Adabra, great. Premaumi, by waves of love of Godhead. Spurita, which was manifested. Natana Ulasa Vivasa, being overwhelmed by the transcendental bliss of dancing. Saharsham, with great pleasure. Gayad B, who were singing. Parivritta, surrounded. Tanu, body. Vaishnava Janai, by the devotees. Sat Chaitanya, that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kim, weather. May, my. Puna, Puna Api. Again, Drisho, a vision. Yashyati, will enter. Padam, the path. Translation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced down the main road in great ecstasy before Lord Jagannath, the master of Nilachala, who was sitting on his car. Overwhelmed by the transcendental bliss of dancing, and surrounded by Vaishnavas who sang the holy names, he manifested waves of ecstatic love of Godhead. When will Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again be visible to my vision? That is Rupa Goswami's presentation to us to focus our attention on Lord Chaitanya's dancing. We'll be reading other verses, and of course there'll be some purports by Srila Prabhupada. But I thought this would be an appropriate theme for beginning and giving us an avenue through Rupa Goswami into Gaura Lila. Because we're Rupanugas, following in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami through Parampara. Manifested waves of ecstatic love of Godhead. And then, to further give you incentive, in case you read the whole chapter very quickly and weren't paying attention, at the end of the chapter, what does Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami say? And I'm reading this because I found that many devotees haven't read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And this is a great loss. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says that Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is actually Srimad Bhagavatam because there's so many verses quoted from Bhagavatam in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he points out that if you haven't read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, you don't actually understand Bhagavatam. Hmm. It was here in Los Angeles that Srila Prabhupada drove the BBT into an inconceivable dimensions of the universe to produce Chaitanya Charitamrita according to his schedule instead of our schedule. And that was inconceivable, as is the dancing of Lord Chaitanya before the Rath carts. So I beg all the devotees, please do not consider your life complete if you haven't dove deeply into Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. What does Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami say? Anyone who hears this description of the car festival will attain Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He will also attain the elevated state by which he will have firm conviction in devotional service and love of Godhead. So who would not want that? Om Gyana Timidandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasavi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Let's start with the anticipation that ended chapter 12. Anticipation is a very important part of Rath Yatra, and it's a very important part of love of Krishna. The anticipation of the meeting. Lord Jagannath had been in seclusion for 15 days. This may seem to us not such a mega event, but for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers, this seclusion of Lord Jagannath produced profound transformations. So much so that Lord Chaitanya would leave Jagannath Puri and go to Alalanath because the feelings of separation were so intense. Then, on the day before Rath Yatra, when Lord Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra appeared on the altar again, Mahaprabhu led his associates into the temple. And bear in mind that normally, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would observe Lord Jagannath from afar, from behind the Garuda Stambha, the column upon which sits Garuda. But overwhelmed by feelings of anticipation, and here, in our own little way, we're experiencing anticipation, the build-up this weekend. That build-up is all parampara. As we'll hear from the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he and his associates did something totally unusual and actually against the rules and regulations of deity worship. In the early morning, they went on to the altar while Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra are eating their offering. You know, here, the doors, the deity doors are usually closed, or else there's a curtain covering so you can't see. But Mahaprabhu and his followers violated that rule and just went onto the altar to stare at Lord Jagannath. This went on all morning. From the early morning till noontime, Lord Chaitanya is transfixed, just staring at Lord Jagannath. Finally, his followers at noontime induced him to leave for taking his noon bath and taking lunch prasad. So let us seek to enter into this anticipation. The actual morning of the Ratha Yatra, the next morning, you find the anticipation of being in Lord Jagannath's presence now is augmented by the happiness in seeing the beginning arrangements of the Ratha Yatra. This is very important. I was discussing with Swabhas Prabhu yesterday how Ratha Yatra involves so many immense practical organizations and sacrifices. There are managemental hurdles. There are the unexpected that interferes with the managemental arrangements. So it's an extraordinary undertaking. But let us focus on how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is experiencing Ratha Yatra through the lens given to us by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He's happy seeing the arrangements. He's happy seeing the beginning of the Ratha Yatra. In other words, the parade hasn't begun. And you find, first of all, the intense emotional buildup in Mahaprabhu and his followers, and then the happiness in seeing the beginning of the parade. How the deities are taken off the altar, carried to the carts, all the details about the silken ropes and the cotton pads. Mahaprabhu is so happy to see all this because this festival is not ordinary. The question is for us about Ratha Yatra, how deep into it do we want to go? And what is our adhikar? How deep does our level of spiritual advancement allow us to go? Because the ocean of the Ratha Yatra experience is bottomless. Yet, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, in his purports, in this chapter, we're given access to those unlimited depths of the Ratha Yatra experience. You'll find, certainly, in the Ratha Yatra, presented in this chapter, organization. There were 7 kirtan parties, 4 in front of the chariot, and 1 on each side, and 1 in the back. And there were prescribed chanters, there were prescribed dancers, there were designated mridanga players. It's amazing how, while all the spontaneity of the foremost emotions of love of Krishna are going to spill out, at the same time, there's organization. Let's read a purport from Srila Prabhupada. We're jumping here and there because we're not so much in this presentation. I'm not so much focusing on chronology. I'm begging the deities that we may see a slice of the emotional intensity of the event. And that emotional intensity in bhakti is very important, as I'll seek to explain later in the day. The bhakti bhava, the emotions of being a devotee. This is Mahaprabhu's unrivaled contribution. As you know, he's Krishna coming to taste what it's like to be a devotee. In this way, Krishna's status as a supreme enjoyer is complete, because the mystery of bhakti is that the devotee enjoys more than Krishna. That's hard for many of us to understand. Because that is an absolute fact, that the devotee enjoys more than Krishna just by the devotee's focusing 100% on the pleasure of Krishna. Because of that absolute fact, Krishna, in order to continue being the supreme enjoyer, wants to come as a devotee. And that way, his status is intact as a supreme enjoyer by being a devotee, because the devotee of the supreme enjoyer tastes more pleasure than the supreme enjoyer. So this is one of the mysteries of Gaura Lila. You can look at the Rath Yatra from various angles. Lord Jagannath is the supreme personality of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the universal guru. Sometimes people say that, well, there's so many opinions on what is the best spiritual path. And people may bring that up as an objection. Why should I take up the path of Sanatana Dharma, bhakti, Krishna consciousness, when there's so many persons peddling their paths and each one saying their path is the best? But this protest, which can actually become one of anger and frustration, as we see in a purport in Bhagavad Gita, this protest can degenerate into anger and cynicism. I just won't do anything because everyone's selling their wares in the spiritual marketplace. I just forget it all. This mentality is actually symptomatic of rebelliousness against Krishna. Because just see how people live their life. Do you see anyone complaining? There's so many car models out there. There's so many consumer items. How do I know which one's the best? What do people do? They check the reviews. They do comparison shopping. But when it comes to spiritual life, oh, there's so many paths. What can we do? it's a great excuse, isn't it, for doing nothing? Yet for your sense gratification, you know what the best objects are. You compare, you discriminate. You read the consumer reports. You know exactly what's going on. But we can't make that effort for understanding what is the best way to develop love of God. And then if you say, well, this one says this, that one says that, what about, what does Krishna say? Okay, everyone says so many things. What does the best person say? He says, there's nothing beyond me. There's no truth superior to me. So either we reject Krishna's claims without even investigating them, or if we're fortunate, we think, well, I don't know how many persons say there's nothing beyond me. And here in Bhagavad Gita, we're given a process to verify what Krishna says about himself. And we're given the most sublime spiritual authorities who all verify it's Krishna. Listen to what he says about himself. Just like Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. It's not only that I'm saying this because I'm Krishna's friend, but Asita Devala Vyasa. And then I'm also saying it, that Krishna is the supreme. Because it's so difficult to understand Krishna in this age of Kali, we have the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is not only going to teach us how to surrender to Krishna, but he's also going to show us the pinnacle of the love of Krishna absorption. During the Rath Yatra, Lord Chaitanya's dancing will show emotions of love of Krishna never seen before in the material world. This is the conclusion of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and the Vaishnava Acharyas. What you hear about Lord Chaitanya in his dancing, his ecstatic symptoms, no one has ever seen before. He's taken the position of Srimati Radharani and showing that the greatest gift of our sampradaya is not meeting Krishna, but feeling separation from Krishna. Because in separation, there's the anticipation of the meeting, there's the devastation of being separated from the beloved, and that position produces the most intense focus upon Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya will demonstrate that. We'll look at text 142 of the chapter. At the translation and purport. Because in the midst of all this unparalleled ecstasy, you'll see Srila Prabhupada demonstrate his consummate transcendental abilities of presenting the full spectrum of the bhakti experience. In some purports of this chapter, Srila Prabhupada explains the pinnacle experiences of love of Krishna and feelings of separation and what Srimati Radharani, what the gopis are undergoing in separation from Krishna. And in some purports, Srila Prabhupada describes the bodily conception of life, the misery of material existence. Who has ever done like this? I like to say that Prabhupada, in his purports, he plays all the keys of the piano. One purport, it's the most elevated Radha Bhava. The next purport, dogs, hogs, camels, asses. You can't miss such a presentation. There's nothing like it. So let's look at this verse, which introduces us to very divine concepts. The Varaha Samudra Jale. Varaha Samudra, the ocean of separation. And then the Kama Tamingala. You know the Tamingala fish, they're bigger than whales. But we're being introduced to the transcendental Cupid in the form of a Tamingala fish. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "The gopis have fallen into the great ocean of separation and are being devoured by the Tamingala fish of their ambition to serve you. The gopis are to be delivered from the mouths of these Tamingala fish, for they are pure devotees. Since they have no material conception of life, why should they aspire for liberation? The gopis do not want that liberation desired by yogis and gyanis, for they are already liberated from the ocean of material existence." Purport. The bodily conception is created by the desire for material enjoyment. This is called Vipada Smriti, which is the opposite of real life. The living entity is eternally the servant of Krishna, but when he desires to enjoy the material world, he cannot progress in spiritual life. One can never be happy by advancing materially. This is also stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. Adanta gobhya vishatam tanmishram. Puna punas charvana charvananam. Through the uncontrolled senses, one may advance one's hellish condition. He may continue to chew the chewed, that is, repeatedly accept birth and death. The conditioned souls use the duration of life between birth and death only to engage in the same hackneyed activities, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. In the lower animal species, we find the same activities. Since these activities are repeated, engaging in them is like chewing that which has already been chewed. If one can give up his ambition to engage in hackneyed material life and take to Krishna consciousness instead, he will be liberated from the stringent laws of material nature. One does not need to make a separate attempt to become liberated. If one simply engages in the service of the Lord, he will be liberated automatically. As Srila Bilvamangala Thakur therefore says, Mukti Swayam Mukulitanjali Sevate Sman. Liberation stands before me with folded hands, begging to serve me. Speaking in the emotional bhava of the gopis, Lord Chaitanya is saying, what is there the need of any instructions in Jnana Yoga, Jhana Yoga, meditation? What is the need of all that for the gopis? They're not at all interested in freedom from material existence because they have no material existence. For us, the question is why? Yes, we could say that they're the internal potency of the Lord. They're perfected souls. But what salient point is being presented to us here is that they are devoured by a fish that's bigger than a whale. And what is the nature of that fish? Their ambition to serve Krishna. This is our aspiration. How to become devoured by the Timangila fish of the ambition to serve Krishna. This is the proper use of our core identity, of our core emotions. Without that, what do we have? The ambition to engage in hackneyed material life. So Srila Prabhupada asks, if one can give up his ambition to engage in hackneyed material life. Did you ever think about it that way? God, I've got an ambition to engage in hackneyed material life. Sounds like a real curse, doesn't it? And it is. We think it's so innocent. I just want some things out of this world, you know. I don't want much, you know. I just want my share. I deserve fulfillment. I'm a good person, not the best and not the worst. I feel that my ship is coming in. All I want to do is connect with some meaningful, momentous experiences in my life. That's all. Is that asking for much? Just a few shining moments is all I ask for. A few magic moments, a few peak experiences, and then I'll agree. I'll give up this body and let the universe take care of me. So in this way we think we're humble. Just a little bit of ambition to enjoy material life. What's the problem? There's a big problem. As we hear in the beginning of the purport, the bodily conception is created by the desire for material enjoyment. This is called viparasmriti, which is the opposite of real life. We're hearing about real life in this presentation of Ratha Yatra and Lord Chaitanya's dancing and his feelings of separation from Krishna. And is pleading with Krishna. Who is Lord Jagannath? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taken the position of Srimati Radharani and he's reciting verses to Lord Jagannath, beckoning Lord Jagannath, come back to Vrindavan. There'll even be accusations in the ecstasy, the pure ecstasy of love. I would like to
take my mind away from you. But I can't. This is the nature of the Vrindavan experience. You read in Krishna Lila that Krishna's dearmost devotees would sometimes say, why can't we forget about Krishna? He's forgotten us. Why do we have to talk about him? Let's stop talking about him. And they go on and on saying, let's stop talking about him. Why can't we withdraw our minds? He's forgotten us. He's with the city girls and Mathura, Dwarka. He's not thinking of us. We're going to stop thinking about him. And just go on and on like that. While Lord Chaitanya is dancing in front of Jagannath, this is what's going on. Have you forgotten us in Vrindavan? Won't you come back to Vrindavan? We can't separate our mind from you. In fact, for most people, the mind and the heart are one. But Lord Chaitanya, taking the position of Srimati Radharani, says, my mind and Vrindavan are one. And since you like Vrindavan, then please come. Put your lotus feet back in our existence. These devotees don't want to meditate on Krishna's feet. They want to use all their senses in serving Krishna. That is Vrindavan. It's not idle meditation. They want to be dynamically engaged in giving Krishna pleasure. This is the aspect of Gopi Bhava that is so important for us. The burning aspiration to give Krishna pleasure. The ambition to serve Krishna, which in the pure state becomes like a fish bigger than a whale. The kama tamingala. Devoured by the ambition to serve Krishna. That will replace the ambition to enjoy the material world. We find in this purport Srila Prabhupada making those uncomfortable absolutist statements that sometimes even our own devotees get a little upset with, but won't say it in public. One can never be happy by advancing materially. Wait, well, maybe not completely happy, right? But a little, you know, let's be balanced here. Maybe 50% materially, 50% spiritually. But these statements, one can never be happy by advancing materially. Through the uncontrolled senses, one may advance one's hellish condition. So you're making progress, you're advancing, but advancing in what? You think you're improving your life. This is our problem. By acting as the enjoyer, we think our life will be improved. We think the individual will make progress, society will make progress. But what's actually going on? The painful reality is that we're simply pushing on hellish conditions. He may continue to chew the chewed, that is, repeatedly accept birth and death. So again, a very concise statement, but so much depth to it. All right, I'm acting like the enjoyer. I'm doing a bit of gratification. What's the big deal? But do we think that by acting in that way, we're accepting birth and death, we're consenting. Yes, let more birth and death come upon me. So the acharyas are teaching us to see the connection between our actions and their outcomes. That is real education. That is real knowledge. This is why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that the fire of transcendental knowledge burns. Gyanagni Sarvakarmani. It burns away all the inauspicious actions and reactions. Because no longer do we operate under the illusion that by engaging in non-Krishna activities, I'll be happy, there'll be progress, there'll be fulfillment, there'll be advancement. By knowing, by attaining real knowledge, one won't do those things anymore. And also, the knowledge is dynamic. It's transformative. Just by hearing about it, you become purified. So you get it both ways. You get the information that stops the engagement in the cycle of repeated birth and death. And by hearing that information, the heart becomes purified. So what could be a better way of life? Dynamic information. And therefore, Krishna says, Gana Plavenaiva. Certainly, on this boat of transcendental knowledge, you'll cross over the ocean of material miseries. It's quite interesting how in this peak of this peak presentation of ecstatic love of Krishna, we're getting lectured about a misplaced ambition. And we're being taught, what is real ambition? Become devoured. You can't imagine what it's like to be devoured by a whale. Even a little shark is bad enough. But to be devoured by a fish bigger than a whale, and that bigger than whale fish is the desire, the ambition to serve Krishna. So this is Mahaprabhu's presentation to Lord Jagannath, because Mahaprabhu is in the role of Srimati Radharani. And she's appealing to Krishna. Don't you understand our situation? All we want to do 100% is serve you for your pleasure. Speaking, representing the Vrindavan atmosphere, Lord Chaitanya says to Lord Jagannath, it is amazing that you have forgotten the land of Vrindavan. And how is it that you have forgotten your father, mother, and friends? How have you forgotten Govardhan Hill, the bank of the Yamuna, and the forest where you enjoyed the Rasalila dance? And then, Krishna, you actually don't have a fault. We know you're the reservoir of all good qualities. You're the perfect gentleman. Yet, something inconceivable has happened. Even though you have no faults, I know there's not even a tinge of fault to be found in you. What's happened? Your mind does not even remember the inhabitants of Vrindavan. So what's the conclusion? This can only be due to the misfortune of the residents of Vrindavan. And Srimati Radharani is speaking in terms of herself as a representative of that misfortune. So first there's accusation, and then there's, but actually you're perfect. There's no fault. So then why has this happened? It's only because of our misfortune. So this is all going on while Lord Chaitanya is dancing ecstatically in front of Lord Jagannath. And sometimes, in his ecstasy, he would fall on the ground and roll. And when Kaviraj Goswami said, what you would see is like a golden mountain rolling on the ground. And that golden mountain is covered by trees with blossoming flowers of ecstatic emotions. Such poetry. As Lord Chaitanya is making his presentation on behalf of Srimati Radharani and the gopis and all the residents of Vrindavan, as that presentation is being made to Lord Jagannath. Tears are shooting from Mahaprabhu's eyes. But not only are the tears shooting from his eyes, but by his chanting and dancing, all the minds of the onlookers are being sprinkled with love of Krishna. The government officials, the audience, everyone. Their consciousness is being affected by love of Krishna. Once, while Lord Chaitanya was dancing in front of the cart, he fell down in ecstasy. Usually Nityananda is there to catch him. Usually the servants, Govinda and Kashishwar, are also there to catch him. But this time, Nityananda was absorbed in his ecstasy somewhere else. Govinda and Kashishwar weren't around. So when Lord Chaitanya falls, who's there to pick him up? King Pratyaparudra. He picks Lord Chaitanya off the ground. And externally, Lord Chaitanya says, "What is this? Oh no, I have been touched by a mundane sense gratifier, money kind of person. How great is my misfortune?" So Pratyaparudra was scared. Oh my God. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told him, "You have achieved the greatest fortune. Don't worry." Lord Chaitanya, just to teach his followers about the dangers of associating with mundane persons, or persons who seem to be mundane, in the case of Pratyaparudra Maharaj, he's just teaching an external lesson, but internally he's very pleased with you. So what did Pratyaparudra Maharaj do that he got the opportunity to pick Lord Chaitanya off the ground when Lord Chaitanya had vowed, "I won't even see a king in my dreams." Or to see him in person. "I don't even see them. They don't come in my dreams." And now, Pratyaparudra Maharaj has such an intimate encounter. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya explained that this is all due to Pratyaparudra's devotional service. That brought about the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So what was that? What was the, how do you say, the crucial focal point of that service? It was sweeping the ground in front of the Rathayatra cart. Now, I just realized in reading this yesterday that it may seem like not a big deal to us. Well, he was sweeping and the broom had a golden handle. Yeah, I could do that. And he was sprinkling perfume, sandalwood oil here and there. Yeah, it smells pretty good. Yeah, I could do that. But you have to see the cultural context. In India, a street sweeper is considered the lowest because all kinds of junk and refuge and trash and unmentionables are on the street. So if you look at the situation with non-Western eyes, we can better appreciate the impact. Here is the king. He's got the most exalted post. Yet, he's sweeping the ground. It just hit me yesterday how we may miss the significance of this and why Lord Chaitanya was so impressed. The king is sweeping the ground with a broom. Never mind the broom has a golden handle. He's sweeping the ground. The lowest occupation. Something done by the untouchables. And he's doing that. So Lord Chaitanya noted that. And by the king's service, such a surrender, that triggered Lord Chaitanya's mercy. What was the first proof of that mercy? Because ordinarily you wouldn't see what was going on. The first proof was when Mahaprabhu did what Krishna does in the Rasa Lila and in Dwarka. In the Rasa Lila, Krishna puts himself between every gopi and dances. In Dwarka, Krishna puts himself in 16,108 palaces. So in the Rathayatra, Krishna as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu puts himself in all seven chanting parties simultaneously. Yet each party is thinking, he's only with us. We've got him in our party. So Pratsaparudra is watching this, and he can see it. He can see this miracle that Lord Chaitanya is dancing simultaneously in all the parties. And he says that to his cohorts. What's going on? I've never seen such a thing in my life. I could never conceive of such a thing. And then his cohorts tell him, you obviously have the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because practically no one else is seeing this. Just one or two devotees are seeing this. This teaches us a lot about perception, how to see God, how to understand God. We cannot do it by our own efforts. Pratsaparudra tried everything, how to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One thing he did right was to get the blessings of the devotees who appealed to Lord Chaitanya. The king is a better devotee than us. Please see him. So he got the mercy of the devotees, and then he did the menial service of sweeping the road. So the first symptom of his getting the mercy was he could see into the lila. He could see what was going on. And then the second installment of mercy was Lord Chaitanya falling down on the ground in front of him. Continuing in the mood and position of Srimati Radharani, Lord Chaitanya says to Jagannath, I do not care for my personal unhappiness, but when I see the morose face of Mother Yashoda and the hearts of all the inhabitants of Vrindavan breaking because of you, I wonder whether you want to kill them all, or do you want to enliven them by coming there? Why are you simply keeping them alive in a state of suffering? Later, you'll hear Krishna's response. I'm guilty. I'm suffering night and day, crying night and day in separation. I do come back by the grace of Narayan. I do come every day. He's talking about his unmanifest lila. He's pointing out, I am there. I can't bear the suffering. I do come every day. And also, I'll come in a manifest way, 10 or 15 days more. Actually, this chapter can be a little intense to read if you really allow yourself to get into it, because the feelings are so unlimitedly deep, and we're wondering, like, who am I and what do I know? What am I doing with my life? We'll end with Krishna being addressed in this way. My dear Krishna, you are the life and soul of Vrindavan Dham. You are especially the life of Nanda Maharaj. You are the only opulence in the land of Vrindavan, and you are very merciful. Please come and let all the residents of Vrindavan live. Kindly keep your lotus feet again in Vrindavan. Purport. Srimati Radharani did not express her personal unhappiness at being separated from Krishna. She wanted to evoke Krishna's feelings for the condition of all the others in Vrindavan Dham. Mother Yashoda, Maharaj Nanda, the cowherd boys, the gopis, the birds and bees on the banks of the Yamuna, the water of the Yamuna, the trees, the forests, and all other paraphernalia associated with Krishna before he left Vrindavan for Mathura. These feelings of Srimati Radharani were manifested by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and therefore he invited Lord Jagannath, Krishna, to return to Vrindavan. That is the purport of the Rathyatra cars going from Jagannath Puri to the Gundicha temple. Srila Prabhupada ki! Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.